The assigned lectionary epistle reading for this World Communion Sunday comes from the second letter to Timothy, reading from the very beginning, the first chapter, first verse, through the 14th. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And for this reason, I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust. And I am sure that God is able to guard until that day when I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me. In the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus, guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Well, today is a day to celebrate gifts and blessings. And one of those is the opportunity to contribute to efforts that enhance ministries of peacemaking and mission, both internationally through the Presbyterian Church USA and locally through our own congregation. And another gift and blessing is celebrating this sacrament of the Lord's Supper with Christians around the globe on this annual World Communion Sunday. Our communion table this Sunday, this morning, represents that with a beautiful array of cloth from around the world collected from members of this congregation. And the purpose of this coordinated event is to recognize our unity as followers of the ways and teachings of Jesus, albeit with a plurality of ministries and of theological beliefs. It's also fitting that in our scripture passage from 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul, which, by the way, according to most modern biblical scholars, did not write this letter, but rather a later disciple of Paul's using his name, he makes reference to our connectedness to other people of faith, in particular to our own relatives and our forebears. In verse 5 of chapter 1, the author writes to Timothy, who is Paul's young colleague in the ministry, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. The author's mention of Timothy's grandmother and mother function as kind of a chain of succession. ensuring the continuity of faith from one generation to the next. And this is a very important role that parents and communities of faith like College Hill play in the journey of faith of our children and our youth, whether they choose to attend church regularly or not. This passage also underscores the important and vital role that especially women have always played in revealing and sharing a sincere and living faith. So just as Timothy is an heir of the faith of his family, so are we. It is a faith tradition that started with literally a handful of disciples and eventually spread to cover the entire world. But this is no mere family hand-me-down. The author calls it a sincere faith, a gift of God that is within you and a good treasure entrusted to you. But what do you think the biblical author meant by adding the word sincere? It is a sincere faith. Well, the literal meaning of the Greek word translated as sincere is without hypocrisy. A primary criticism Jesus had of many people in his own time, and especially of religious leaders, was that they were steeped in hypocrisy. And I'd venture to guess that Jesus would have the same criticism about many in our own day and age. Hypocrisy takes many forms, such as saying one thing while doing another. In other words, not practicing what you preach, or as is often phrased, talking the talk but not walking the walk. Hypocrisy also comes in the form of judging and condemning others while ignoring or excusing one's own blatant faults and sinfulness. And one of the most insidious elements that come with being a hypocrite is that it often leads to legalism. Those who are legalistic focus on rules, regulations, and hand-picked beliefs associated with a particular religious system, while often ignoring the weightier issues of faith, such as love, forgiveness, compassion, mercy, justice, and peacemaking. I know, I used to be one of them. So when the author of this letter calls Timothy's faith sincere, he means it is an authentic and non-pretentious faith. It's the kind of faith that leads us to wear our faith not on our sleeve for show, but rather inwardly in our hearts and outwardly in our actions. It's a good idea then for each of us to spend some time reflecting on the sincerity of our own faith. This involves the courage to see if any hypocrisy has drifted into our own attitudes and actions. Now, after commenting on Timothy's sincere faith that lived in his grandmother and mother, the author continues, "For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you." This has become one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And this is why. First, the Greek word for rekindle is a remarkably picturesque word. It's actually combined of three different linguistic elements. They are again, bring to life, and to light a fire. Thus, combination of meanings in this one word, rekindle, which, by the way, only appears this one time in the New Testament, urges Timothy to bring a certain fire back into his life. Well, apparently this was a fire, a passion, that once blazed brightly, but evidently has grown dim. And I think many of us could say the same. Our faith, and I'm not talking about our sense of certainty of beliefs or any particular belief system, but rather simply being a person of faith, may have once burned brightly in us. But perhaps that flame, that passion, has grown dimmer. If so, take to heart this powerful message of encouragement to rekindle this gift in you. And while the author could have referred to any number of gifts and talents that God has blessed each one of us with, he refers to one gift in particular. Did you take note? That is the gift of God that dwells within you. That's not just some particular talent or gift. It's the very gift of God's sacred presence that dwells within you and me, contrary to some Christian teachings, I would add, and also within everyone else. There can be no greater gift, period, than to recognize that God is a gift that dwells within the depths of our very being. And it's very likely that the ancient Celtic tradition was very fond of this passage, for it expresses a core belief of Celtic spirituality. Now, for some reason, however, that gift of God within Timothy was growing dimmer, whether through his own inattentiveness, or more likely a loss of confidence brought on by the sufferings and the stresses of life itself. Again, the same may be taking a toll on our own faith. Timothy was encouraged, therefore, as are we, to rekindle that gift, to relight the fire of sincere faith that is within Timothy, that is within you. For we're reminded, quote, God did not give us a spirit of cowardice or of being timid, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Well, you know me well enough to know that I'm not a name-it-and-claim-it kind of preacher. But maybe I am when it comes to this particular passage. Each one of us can claim the spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline that God has freely given to each of us through the indwelling sacred presence of God. And why is this so important? A faith that is sincere, without hypocrisy, without pretense, can and does have a profound impact on our world. And living a life of faith based on love, forgiveness, compassion, peace, and justice can and does have the power to actually transform lives, yours and mine and others. And we've certainly witnessed that here in Tulsa over the past few weeks. So as we celebrate the Lord's Supper on this World Communion Sunday, let us, like Timothy, guard the good treasure entrusted to us with the help of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. So rekindle, relight the fire of the gift of God that is within you and is within the life and ministry of this congregation as we claim the spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Amen.